Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
The title of our study today is The Vanishing Sinner, and this is our opening take. If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. He is a new creation. A man in Christ is not the old man purified, nor is it the old man improved or the old man in a better humor. He is not the old man with additions or subtractions, nor is he the old man dressed in rich and gorgeous robes. No, he is a new creature, a new creation altogether. And as for the old man, what is to be done with him? Can he not be sobered? Can he not be reformed and made to go about in useful service? The answer to the question is no. The old man must be what? Crucified in Christ. The capital sentence must be passed upon him, for he cannot be mended, therefore he must be ended. And once he is ended, then Christ brings to that man, he brings to us that which is new, and we are changed. Christ creates in us that which is from above, that which is all of his grace and nothing of me and mine. Then we become new from the inside, what? Out. A new creation, a new man. And this new man in us is not made out of anything that was in us before. Christ has not found light stored away somewhere in our darkness, but he brings heavenly peace. What kind of peace? Heavenly peace, heavenly power to make all things new in us. In a nutshell, it is God's promise. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. In the New Testament, it says we are given the mind of Christ. And when that happens in me and in you, day by day we become more like him in this world that needs to see things like that. Will you please pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much for a beautiful Sabbath that you've given us to consider your word. As we open the Bible, we ask for your Holy Spirit to help us and to give us wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, yeah, please open your Bibles there to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We are going to start with our scripture text for the day, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We're going to start there, and we're going to read a few verses down. Verse 17, the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of who?" Yeah, of God, or from God, who hath reconciled us to himself by or through Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that's an old English word, isn't it? Some people don't like the old King James Version. I like it. To wit, or to know, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of who? The righteousness of God in him, that is, in and through Christ. So our subject is entitled The Vanishing Sinner. That's what we have titled it. Last week, you remember, we covered just some introductory remarks where we considered how in our world today and in pop culture today, it seems like the things that used to be wrong, the things that used to be sin, are no longer sin. It seems like in society at large in the 21st century, there's very little that is black and white. We see mostly what color? Gray. And we asked ourselves the question, where in the world did sin go? Well, in the Bible has a simple and clear answer. Amen? Where did sin go? It went to the cross. Christ became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And with that, we then become new creatures, a new creation, and then God fills us with his Spirit and helps us to be ambassadors for his kingdom. And so where we left off last week, we were basically asking the question, how is it that you and I can become new creatures, new creations, these ambassadors for Christ in a world like this? And I'd like us to consider three simple points today from our text that might be able to help us to understand how this can be. First of all, we need to understand that this change, this new creation, which empowers us to be ambassadors for Christ, is meant for all mankind. That's our first point. What's the point? We have to understand what? Yeah, that this change, that this power, this promise is meant for just one person? No. Just one particular race or nation? Like maybe that was for God's people, that was for the Israelites. No, it's for who? It's for all mankind. Our text says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. So I'd like to lift the thought from the first part of that sentence. Therefore, if any man. If you were to study that little phrase there, it's better translated, if anyone. If any man or if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. If any man or anyone from any country, from any race, from any age, if he is in Christ, if she is in Christ, they are what? New creatures, new creations. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. This promise is for all mankind. And according to the gospel stories of Scripture, we see that this all mankind is divided into two groups. And I would like us to remember this morning that we all have been part of these two groups. Now, there are many in the world who are only part of one group. They need to be part of two so that they can be part of the third group. Let me describe to you the three groups. I'll get to the three groups a little bit later. Two main groups. Then we'll get to the three groups. The two main groups, sheep lost and sheep what? Found. Guest refusing the invitation and guest feasting at the table of God. There are wise virgins and there are virgins who are otherwise. There are sheep and there are goats. In the epistles, we read of those who are dead in their trespasses and sin, and others whom Christ has quickened or made alive. Some are alive to God, some are in their natural state of spiritual death. The distinction between the two classes of mankind runs through all Scripture, but never do we find a hint, and this is the idea, these two groups we see all through Scripture, but never do we find the hint that there are some who are naturally good, thus okay, and do not need to be removed from one class to the other. No, the Bible does not teach that. There must be a divine work making how many of us? All of us new creatures, thus causing all things to become new within us. The Bible declares we must be born again. You remember that conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus one night. Nicodemus, you must be born again if you are to enter and see the kingdom of God. And is that still true today? Yes. And the good news is, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So how much does that take in? All mankind. If any one, if any man from any country, from any age, from any race, if they accept Christ and are in him, they are a new creature. God's redemptive plan to make us new in this new year is for all mankind. You remember John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved what? The world. And so when it says, for God so loved the world, what does that mean? How much does that take in? Yeah, all mankind. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, how many does the whosoever take in? All mankind. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Unfortunately, not all who consider God's plan will accept it. But I want to, day by day. What about you? So if we are to become new creatures and be ambassadors for God on earth, we must understand that this promise of new change is for all. It's for me. And it's for you. It's for your family. It's for your neighbors. It's for the ones that you work with in the workplace. It is for everybody and anyone that you come into contact with. And this should give us a certain perspective. How is it that I can be a new creature in Christ, living in today's society, and at the same time be an ambassador for God, representing him? I have to understand that his plan that makes me a new creature is for you and for everyone who is alive on planet Earth right now. If I take a different view than that, am I really in Christ? What do you think? No. Yeah. One more thought along this way. Let's ask ourselves the question. Those who are in Christ, and I pray that that is your case today, those who have accepted Christ as their Savior and trust and obey him as their Lord, they're right here, how should they consider those who are not yet in Christ? So these ones are outside of Christ. Those who are in Christ, how should they consider those outside of Christ? What's the answer to the question? The answer to the question, we are to consider them just as Jesus considered them and us when we were what? Outside of Christ. They are to be treated with kindness and utmost respect. And when we have the opportunities to become friends with them, take the time with them. We're told in the book Ministry of Healing that if the church is to have true success, we follow Christ's method and Christ's method alone. And what was the first step in Christ's method? You read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read through the gospel stories. How did Jesus work with people? He accepted them where they were at. The Ministry of Healing says that Christ mingled among men as one who desired their good. That was the first step. He took time with people. And if we are going to have success as new creatures in Christ, as ambassadors for his kingdom, We need to understand this simple point. It's what the Apostle Paul said. If any man, if who? Anyone, any man, anybody be in Christ, they are a new creature. This leads us to our second thought, and that is, if any man is in Christ. So we've looked at the phrase, if any man, that takes in everybody. If any man be what? In Christ. He is a new creature. And let me add two words. It's not in the text, but you get the idea. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, not otherwise. This promise is for any man. But no man comes to be a new creature or creation apart from Christ. And so we've mentioned the two big groups. Now let me mention three groups that are part of that. Being outside of Christ. By the way, how many of us have been outside of Christ? We all have. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in 6:23, and the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So from a natural standpoint, we are born not connected to Christ. We are born connected to things like our own sinfulness and selfishness. We have that natural bent towards not righteousness and obedience, but a natural bent towards what? Doing our own thing and getting everything for me and mine. And so there are those that are outside of Christ, then there are those that are in Christ, and then there are those that are with Christ. That's the biblical picture. We've all been outside of Christ in order to be, how many of you want to be with Christ? What's the biblical picture of those that are with Christ? Well, when Christ was on earth, there were those that followed him, and they were with him. But he's no longer on earth. Where is he? He's in heaven. Are there some in heaven who are with Christ who were once outside of Christ on earth? Yes. We have the picture of Enoch walk with God, and God took him. We have the picture of Moses and Elijah. Moses died and God resurrected him. Elijah didn't die. What did God do? Yeah, took him to heaven in a fiery chariot. That must have been some trip. And one day when Jesus Christ comes again, when he comes again, what is he going to do? He's going to bring to life all those who have died in Christ. And, you know, this past week, we have lost two of our dear family church members. And that makes us sad, but you know what? They breathed their last in Christ. And what does the Bible promise? They will rise again when he comes again. And so when that happens, will we be with Christ? Absolutely. But in order to be with Christ on that day, we have to be in Christ today. And if we are not in Christ today, if we are outside of Christ and remain that way, we will not be with Christ when he comes again. And so the Bible promise here is simply, if any man be what? In Christ, he is a new creature. But if he is not in Christ, he is not a new creature. You remember 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath what? Life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath what? Not life. That's just the simple Bible truth. Christ, who is the creator of all things, is able to make all things new. But things that are apart from him, they are not made new. If things are apart from him and remain that way, what will happen to those things? Yeah, they will pass away. They will wax old and perish. So if we are to experience this new life, we simply must be in Christ. What does that mean? I believe there are some parallel examples with kind of this idea, this motif of being in Christ. In the Old Testament, you remember God told Noah to build an ark, to build a big ship. And those who entered in the ark, what would happen? They would be saved. And so we have this idea of God providing a way of redemption, a way of salvation at the time of the flood. And that was the ark, which was created for mankind. Instead, only 8 got on board, and God had to fill the ship with animals. But those that entered in the ark, they were saved. They were able to miraculously ride out the flood that came upon the world. So also, those who are in Christ will be saved and redeemed from the trouble that is in the world. There's also, you remember, an example of, in the Old Testament, God made it plain to the leaders that there were to be cities of refuge. You remember the story of the cities of refuge? They were put in strategic places all over the land of Israel, so that if any man might have been working with a friend or whatever, and an accident took place, and his friend's life was brought to an end, and that friend's family, they were called the Avenger, tried to take this other man out, what could that man do? Go to the city of refuge. And once he was in the city of refuge, justice would take place for him, and he would be protected from the Avenger if they were in the city of refuge. So also with Christ, when we are in Christ, are we brought true justice? And are we saved from the Avenger that is out to take us out? Indeed. In the New Testament, Jesus just told the example and the story. You remember when he said, I am the vine and you are what? The branches. And in order to be healthy and grow strong and to produce fruit, what do the branches have to do? Abide in the vine. Be connected to the vine. If the branch gets severed from the vine, does it receive the sap and the nourishment and the life force from the main stalk? Doesn't happen. And so Jesus says, abide in me and I what? In you. That is the idea of being in Christ. Practically, these are the illustrations in Scripture. Practically, it just simply means we must believe in Him. Trust in Him. Obey Him. Amen? Did you know that faith and trust, as is described in the Bible, is an active, obedient thing? There are some who say, oh, we don't need to worry about obedience. I'm just going to believe. They don't understand what Bible belief is. Belief and faith and trust in God's Word always obeys and follows the commands of God and follows in the footsteps of Jesus. So we must believe in Him, trust in Him, have faith in Him. We must accept and receive Him, spend time with Him. How often should we spend a little time with Jesus? Every day, daily time, considering His life, considering His death, considering His resurrection, considering His mediation on our behalf in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary at this time. Consider these things. Take time to slow down. Separate yourself from the hubbub of everyday life and take a little bit of time surrendering ourselves to Him. And if we do that, He will make us, amen? He will make us a new creation, a new creature. He will change the way we think. He will change the way we feel. And that makes up who we are. That makes up our moral character. He will give us a change of heart, which will be seen in our practical lives on the street where the rubber meets the road. Throughout God's Word, we see examples of this dramatic change. Jacob, you remember, wrestled with the heavenly being, and we believe that that heavenly being that he wrestled with was who? Was Christ. And Jacob, as he wrestled, you remember, said he would not let him go. And he asked for God's blessing. And did Jacob receive it? Christ blessed him and changed his name to what? To Israel. And Jacob was never the same. Saul, the tent maker from Tarsus, he describes himself as the chief of sinners in retrospect. And he met Christ at the entryway of Damascus and was converted. And he was no longer, you know, Saul, the chief of sinners. Well, what did he become? Paul, the preacher and the evangelist. Some seem to suggest that Paul was always the chief of sinners. No, he wasn't. When he accepted Christ, he was changed, and he became all in for Christ and the everlasting gospel and his righteousness. He lived it, he preached it, and he died for it. You remember a Samaritan woman comes to the well to draw water one day, and Christ speaks to her. And what happens to her? Yeah, she's changed, she's converted, she goes away to tell the men of the city that she has found the Messiah. Zacchaeus, you remember, is sitting up in a tree. He's a rich publican, a sinner. And Jesus cries out to him, Zacchaeus, come on down, for today I must abide at your house. That I could just see Zacchaeus sitting in the tree. He's wanting to see Jesus. You remember in the story, he was not big enough to see him over the crowd, so he climbed, sitting on a branch up in the sycamore tree. Jesus stops by and looks up and calls him by name. I can imagine Zacchaeus thinking to himself, how does he know my name? I mean, that's a type of love and mercy that can bring traits that will knock a man off his high perch. I can see Zacchaeus hanging onto the branch when Jesus called him by his name. And Zacchaeus came down and received Jesus into his house. And then he proves his salvation and change by his works of benevolence. Matthew sits at the receipt of customs, you remember. He's another publican and a sinner. And Jesus simply says to him, follow me. And what did Matthew do? Got up from his tax collector's desk and followed Jesus. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 listened to the preaching of Peter. And when the Bible says they were pricked in the heart, they believed and were baptized. Not too long after that, a jailer has gone to bed after putting Paul and Silas in stocks. His prisoners then start praying and singing to God. And what does God send with their singing? Sends an earthquake to that place. And that earthquake was not a normal earthquake. This was an earthquake that unlocked the prison doors and unlocked the chains that they were bound in. Earthquakes don't do that. But that one did. And the jailer ends up asking the question, what must I do to be saved? And he was baptized. He believed. He was baptized along with his believing household. And you remember John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress. He puts these things this way. I quote, and Christian came up to the cross. Amen. Christian came up to the cross. And his burden, what happened to his burden? Loosed from his shoulders and fell from off his back and began to tumble. And so to do till it came to the mouth of the sepulcher where it fell in and Christian saw it no more. Then was Christian glad and lightsome and said with a merry heart, he hath given me rest by his sorrow and life by his death. And that will change anyone. What is it about this being in Christ that brings such dramatic change? Here's our last thought. Our text says, for he hath made him to be what? Sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The greatest doctrine of all, the Bible presents all kinds of doctrines. In the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we have 28 fundamental doctrines, and I believe them. They're Bible-based, but there's more doctrines than that in the Bible. But the greatest doctrine of all is this. Are you ready for it? That God, seeing man lost by reason of his selfishness, rebellion, and sin, has taken that sin and laid it on his only begotten Son. Praise God. Making him to be sin for us, even him who knew no sin, so that he and we who believe on him might be made just and righteous, even the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can't even hardly understand such things. I'm not even sure if we could really put down the proper words to describe it. I'm going to try a little bit. The Bible says he took the likeness of sinful flesh. But though that flesh often caused him weariness of body, it never produced in him weakness of sin. He took our infirmities and was tempted, in the book of Hebrews, tells us, in every point as we are, yet what? Without sin. There never fell an evil glance from those blessed eyes of Jesus. Never did his lips drop an impatient or hasty word. Never did those feet step onto and go on an evil errand. Nor did his hands move towards a sinful deed. Christ was filled with holiness and love, within and without. Our Lord was blameless and unblemished. And searched by the eyes of omniscience, there was not even the shadow of fault found in him. And he, who was all of that and is all to us, and he, the perfect one, became, the Bible says, sin for us. He took my sin and selfishness, and he took yours. And our sin and selfishness and all the sin of mankind was laid on him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible tells us that he began to hemorrhage within. He began to bleed through the pores of his skin. And on the cross, our sins were laid on him. And it crushed out his life force, and his heart burst, exploded in the midst of his chest cavity. Our sin was transferred to him and did that to him. And then, what's the exchange? And his righteousness. And how perfect was his righteousness? Completely perfect. His righteousness was then transferred to me. It was transferred to you. And that is the power of the gospel. And because of Christ's sacrifice, and because of the love of God, we can believe and accept his plan and be declared righteous. And not only that, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can actually be made righteous. That is, we can be made a new creation. We can change. People who are mean and cantankerous, guess what can happen to them after accepting Christ and asking for Christ's Spirit to live in them? They're no longer mean, but they're nice. Praise God. Not only are we made the righteousness of Jesus, the Bible says that we are also made the righteousness of God in Christ. The righteousness that Adam had in the Garden of Eden was perfect. He was created in the image of God, perfect. Ours is the righteousness of God when we accept Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. Human righteousness has failed, but the believer who accepts Christ and his life, that believer has the righteousness of God, which can never fail. Praise God. So I'd like to ask the question today, where has sin gone? For those who believe, has gone to the cross, placed on Christ, so that we can be forgiven and cleansed and have his life in us. In society today, where has sin gone? I remember talking to someone in the Northwest a number of years ago, and we were talking about these things, and I asked him, I wonder where in the world has sin gone? You know what he told me? He said, that's an inappropriate question because there is no sin. And that is basically the view of the secular mind. That is the view of pop culture. But for the believer understands and knows that he is a sinner and is in need of a Savior. The believer knows that he must accept Christ as Savior and Lord. And if he does so, he becomes the righteousness of God. And then is on the platform to overcome how much of the attacks and temptations that the devil throws at us. In Christ, how much can we overcome? All things. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation do what? Make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And so, our title today is The Vanishing Sinner. In society, yeah, sin seems to have vanished altogether, but it's the wrong idea of the picture. For the believer, the removal and the vanishing of sin can become a reality through faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. So the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature, a new creation. A man in Christ is not the old man purified. He is not the old man improved, nor the old man in better humor. He is not the old man with additions and subtractions, nor is he the old man dressed in rich and gorgeous robes. No, he is what? A new man, a new creature, a new creation altogether. And as for the old man, what is to be done with him? Can he be sobered? Can he not be reformed and made to do useful service? The answer to the question is no. The old man must be what? Crucified with Christ. The capital sentence must be passed upon him because he cannot be mended. Therefore, he must be ended. And once he is ended, then Christ brings to us that which is new, and we are changed. Christ creates in us that which is from where? From above, that which is all of his grace and nothing of me or mine. Then we become new from the inside out, a new creation, a new man. And this new man in us is not made out of anything that was in us before. Christ has not found light stored away in our darkness, but brings heavenly peace and power to us from heaven, and all things can be made new. It's God's promise, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. In the New Testament is simply the picture, we are given the mind of Christ. And if that happens in your life and mine, day by day, we will become more and more like him in this world that needs to see things like that. Our Father in heaven, Lord, it's our desires this day as we bow our heads to have Christ only always living in us. And with this, Lord, we ask that you will help us to remember the importance of our daily commitment and surrender to you. And with this, we trust that you will do the work in us to make us more like you and to empower us to be ambassadors for your kingdom. We ask that you would do this work in us and keep us to it in the worthy and precious name of Jesus. Let all the church say, Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Ottagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.